up? Mike Mendoza, Fast Real Estate Services, Doza Real Estate Group, Cleveland, Ohio, on the commute, talking real estate, commercial, residential, property management, consulting, and real estate development. today I was going to talk about how to choose an agent for mostly commercial properties and bigger multifamily properties. So I've been getting a lot of inquiries from out of state. Cleveland, Ohio area is very attractive to a lot of investors because pricing is relatively lower than in most parts of the country, and your income and cap rates are still a lot higher than what you can get, as an example, in California or in on the East Coast, in New York, and heavily populated areas like that. So, but you know, not all agents are the same. You know, in Ohio, a real estate salesperson has to be licensed, and you know, we'll get into what wholesalers are and how they do it and without a license and things, but you really need a licensed agent. So that's a first requirement, because a licensed agent can also manage your properties. A lot of people don't know that in the state of Ohio you cannot manage properties for a fee unless you are a licensed agent. And or if you put that person on your W-2 payroll. So if they work directly for you, then they don't need a license. But if you're paying an agent separately and they're not 1099 or however you do it, and it's not W-2, then that is considered illegal in the state of Ohio. So that's we'll go over that maybe in another episode on what the legalities are for licensed agents and things like that. It's really to protect you, because I've cleaned up a lot of messes from out-of-state investors who hire their contractors to manage properties, and they just don't know don't understand the fiduciary responsibilities, because they're going to be collecting rents, they're going to be paying out of the rents your expenses, and I've seen too many investors get cheated or screwed over or stolen from because that person is not licensed, and then they're basically misappropriating your funds or taking funds that they shouldn't be, and you have no recourse. Well, I guess you have a recourse, but you have more of a recourse if an agent is licensed, because then you can go to the state board to complain about that person and get them investigated and all of that stuff, because they because of their licensure, they should know all of the proper ways and legal ways to manage a property and your money. So it's really, who cares about the property, really? It's the money that you are trusting with somebody. And then if the number of units that you acquire gets significant, then that could get really serious as far as the money that's changing hands. I've had in the past where a former property manager was stealing money from tenants, saying that he was still the property manager and that they should send rents to him and so on and so forth. So even for the consumer, you want to demand that you deal with a licensed agent, because then you, again, have recourse if something bad were to happen to your money, okay? So getting back to the... if you're acquiring properties, what to look for in an agent. You need to understand there is a difference between a residential agent and a commercial agent. The biggest difference is that commercial agents have done deals and are familiar with the commercial market. A residential agent who's never done a commercial deal before really doesn't understand there are a lot of differences in the approach and how to evaluate the value of the property and things like that, where to market the property. If you're listing a property with an agent, so all commercial properties probably should be listed on a commercial listing service like CoStar, LoopNet, that's the biggest, and then there's Crexie. and things like that. If they do not have a subscription to either of those, and this is a professional subscription, not the free one that you get as an investor, then they really shouldn't be listing your properties. Now, they could list it on the MLS as a residential agent because they pay for that, but you're really not reaching the commercial market if you're not listing on those two services. And there's other commercial listing services as well, but I won't go over them here. So also the scope of work that they do is limited to the transaction. So a lot of investors think that, you know, an agent can do all this due diligence for the properties that they're looking at and things like that. Now, they can do initial high level due diligence, but when it comes to the detailed due diligence, you really have to pay that agent, especially if you're out of town, you know, because they probably have to make multiple trips to the property to inspect the property and all of that stuff. That should be paid separately from the normal commission that is paid. Now, you know, again, what does that look like? It depends on the situation, but you should always clarify with your agent what services are included with the transactional commission and what services are not, and what that looks like. So normally we create a consulting agreement so that we can cover those things, and then the buyer or seller knows, like, these are the things that we will do outside the scope of listing the property and marketing your property for sale that they will do for you. So, you know, just expect that. Sometimes agents will not charge a fee for that, but, you know, if they're not charging a fee, they're spending a lot of time, and you know, and the deal might not even happen. So you're not, that person isn't going to be sustainable for a long time. Even if you like them, they're not making any money for their time. And even if it is a significant purchase, the transactional commission and the work that goes into that far exceeds what extra stuff that they do. So always get a have a conversation with that commercial agent on what the scope of work is for the transactional piece and what the scope of work is for any consulting or due diligence stuff. A lot of times it involves, you know, putting together portfolios and evaluating portfolios, doing property management type stuff that you know, should be in a separate property management agreement. So those are examples of things. So that's just the basic logistics. Now, obviously the agent should know the market. They should have done transactions in the cities or areas that you're looking to buy, because in Cleveland, as an example, the market is different between Akron, which is south of Cleveland, versus Cleveland, versus, let's say, the east side of Cleveland in Lake County, or the west side of Cleveland of Lorain County, and so on and so forth. So you want to make sure that that agent has done deals, like completed closed deals, not just, you know, I've looked at some properties for some buyers in the past and so on and so forth. So, and they should know the trends in those areas, like, you know, what's the market doing, what's the cap rate looking like, what kind of development is going on to possibly show some appreciation for some of these, what are the rent rates. They should know that pretty much off the top of their head. You know, most of the areas are pretty universal, but then there are some nuances, especially in specific parts of the city where you can get much higher rents, and maybe expenses are even more in those areas, just because it's, you know, higher end rents involve higher end expenses. You know, so they should know the market, they should have done deals in those markets, and you know, they should have, you know, in this day and age, everybody has reviews online, or they should be building those reviews. So You know, there's some third-party unbiased testimonial on that individual. Don't just pick an agent based on their firm. You know, they could be with the big firms like CBRE or Howard Hanna Commercial or whoever. I mean, they're great agents, don't get me wrong, in those, but you might be stuck with a junior agent who just started and they're working under somebody, and you know, at one of the more seasoned people, but you won't get the quality of working with a seasoned person. Now you can work with somebody new as long as you also have access to the senior broker or agent for that transaction. But if it's limited and you're not satisfied with having access to the senior broker or agent that this newer person is working with, then obviously I would either demand to work directly with that senior person or find an agent that you can work with directly at a smaller firm that is the same amount of knowledge, if not more, and more transactions in the same neighborhoods that you are looking to buy your commercial properties. What else? And obviously you have to have a good rapport and relationship with that person. A lot of time, you're going to be spending a lot of time with this person. You're going to possibly trust them with the multi-million dollar investments that you're buying in the Cleveland area. So you need to be able to work with that person. And it goes both ways. Like, I won't work with an owner or a buyer that I can't have a good relationship with. You know, it's not, you know, the transaction is secondary to me building relationships with sellers and buyers. You know, because trust me, the money's not worth it if you're dealing with people that you don't want to deal with or are unreasonable or are asking you to do things that compromise your integrity or what have you. So that's, you know, one of the biggest things that I pride myself in. And you know, unfortunately it takes longer to build that clientele because you're building clientele that you want to work with as opposed to just doing transactions. So I would recommend that, you know, you get to know that person, get to know, you know, where they came from, why are they in the real estate business, what is their purpose for real estate, you know, because a lot of people just do it for the transactions, but, you know, others are passionate about the neighborhoods and areas that they work in. They are trying to improve the areas that they're buying and selling, or helping buyers and sellers purchase and invest in properties and things like that. So get to know them on that level, because if you don't, then you have no idea what their intentions are, and then you might get stuck with somebody that may not have your best interest in mind. So with that, that's all for today. We'll do another topic here soon. You can get a hold of us. My cell phone number, 440-941-3692, or DM me on Instagram at Mike Mendoza 216, or you can email me mmendoza@fass.res.com. See you on the next one.